Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Scott Eckersley. The Jack and Tom Show coming up tomorrow morning here. And on Ebling and You, we want to preview that with my co-host tomorrow morning, Tom Crawford. Hello, Tom.
Good evening, Jack. How are you doing tonight?
Well, just fine. It is Silver Bells in the City and roughly 125,000 people in downtown Lansing, larger than the population of the city normally. And that's kind of like a lot of Big Ten football stadiums that have bigger crowds on Saturday afternoon than they do the other 358 days a year.
Yeah, and that Silver Bells in the City, when that first started several years ago, I didn't think it was a big deal, but that thing has grown and grown, and it's quite an event every year, so I commend all the people involved in that.
Well, it's turned out to be a tremendous deal for business in Lansing, Tom, and as you know, you grew up in Lansing and went to Lansing Eastern, but now live in East Lansing, and there's still some people who do not come into Lansing often, do not understand what has happened in Lansing, and it's a great opportunity for them to see with their own eyes. We will see a lot of things tomorrow morning and have a great show planned. I think that we are just about ready to wrap up high school football. We are to the semifinal phase, but we are certainly right at winning time for a lot of college football programs and the start of basketball season on the high school and college level. And we have some exciting guests in our first hour tomorrow.
Yeah, in fact, I just left East Lansing High School. I was watching the Trojan varsity basketball team work out. Steve Fenimore, first-year coach there, and really positive practice, real upbeat. Got two sophomores on the team, run and gun, and had some fun, I guess, is a theme for the Trojans. And so I'm in the mood for basketball, yet there's still high school football to be played tomorrow for some area teams. And then, obviously, in the afternoon as well, college football, a very big game down in Ann Arbor, Michigan, Wisconsin. And then senior day also for at Michigan State for the Spartans as they seek out an 11-win season. That would be a huge milestone for the Spartans.
Yeah, really uncharted waters for Michigan State. I just got off the phone, Tom, with Steve Kirsten, the coach at Williamston High School, and his game a little bit later in the afternoon. He's going to join us and talk about the Hornets' amazing season, one loss, and avenged that loss to Lansing Catholic with an opening round win in the playoffs. But other teams still alive as well. We'll talk about them in the morning. You mentioned Steve Fenimore, the new basketball coach at East Lansing, and Rod Watts at Eastern High are going to join us tomorrow. The blue and gold scrimmage for Lansing Eastern should be one of the top two or three teams in the state, certainly have a great chance to win a state championship. And it won't be long. We'll have some great high school basketball. The first game is Eastern Sexton at
wow.
Lansing Eastern. And you can't get any better than that. You could have two state champions there.
No, you really could with Sexton being in Class B and a veteran of the state title game last year. They lost to Country Day, but no shame in that. And they're back. Denzel Valentine, Brent Forbes, and the crew leading that effort. And Carlton's got a great team. Eastern's got some horses. My God, we thought we had a good high school football season. A lot of talent, a lot of balance. But basketball is going to be even better.
Well, Eastern and Sexton lost to the eventual state champion in the tournament last year, and those teams had more attrition than either the Big Reds or the Quakers, so it'll be interesting to see how they do, and that first game will tell us quite a bit. But we have a lot of football to talk about as well, and a couple of guests that you're really going to enjoy. John Colazar, former Michigan wide receiver, a kick returner, one of my favorite Wolverines, is going to join us.
That's great.
And Bruce Hooley, who I think is as good a writer as there is in the Midwest, certainly covered Ohio State for many years, now has gotten out of the daily newspaper grind and does an afternoon talk show, WBNS Radio, and has worked with Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Spielman. And he's going to bring us up to date on all things Buckeye, with Ohio State playing at Iowa, a critical game for the other leaders in the Big Ten, as well as the Buckeyes. And Ohio State getting ready for the visit from Michigan a week from tomorrow.
Yeah, that Iowa team, I I start sipping the Kool-Aid you've been drinking on the Hawkeyes, and then oh my God, look what happened last week against Northwestern. But that's still a good team, and you know you don't want to play Iowa the week after they lost because we saw what Michigan State ran into the week after coming off a loss that Iowa had to deal with, and what they served up the Spartans following Saturday. So that'll be a tough game for the Buckeyes. Although I think Ohio State might pull that thing out, and then you know, and then the game I'm focused on obviously is in down in Ann Arbor because. You know, I know what I said, you know, Rich Rod takes 8 wins to keep his job, and I still believe, you know, he's going to need 8 wins and still don't know if he deserves that job. But I do know that I think that the feedback from what I'm hearing from some insiders there, I think his job is pretty safe, despite what Drew Sharp might be saying in his column this week.
So if Michigan does lose, as most people expect, to Wisconsin, although the Badgers haven't won at Michigan in, I believe, 16 years.
Oh, it's been a long time. And, 1993, I remember it vividly. Yeah, 93 season.
Yeah, and then you've got the game against Ohio State where Michigan will be a decided underdog. They can't seem to beat Jim Tressel. And it could be a 7-6 team, but that might just be good enough.
Well, you know, it shouldn't be good enough by Michigan standards, as you pointed out to me in one of your emails to me today. Thank you very much. But, you know, I think it's going to be because there has been progress. And he would, you know, as far as the NCAA investigation, you know, and maybe the finger wasn't totally pointed at Rich Rodriguez and that lack of compliance, you know, as far as how things were run down there. So, I think he's going to stick around. And some people think that they're going to have an Oregon-type year next year. I don't know if that's going to happen. I think they got to shore their defense up tremendously. And, boy, that defense is going to be tested tomorrow. How young they are is really going to be exposed.
Well, I don't think Wisconsin will score 83 points tomorrow. They did that last week, so.
I don't know, Jack. You make a statement like that, you know, it might just happen. You know, who knows? I saw 67-65 a couple weeks ago. So who knows what's going to happen tomorrow.
Now, you've sat through an awful lot of great defensive football, especially in the Schembechler years. Did you ever imagine that you would see a team score 65 points and lose?
No, I say that, yet I was sitting in Evanston at Ryan Field with that 54-51 setback, and I thought I'd never, you know, that just shocked the heck out of me as well. But the 67-65 and the fact that each, you know, they're players are so many. There are so many wide open plays, so many blown assignments. Both teams, in that regard, penalties and stuff like that. It just got to be almost boring. It was so monotonous. And I like some defense to my football. Thank you very much. I like a little balance. Can I just have a 28-21, which used to be a high scoring game back in the 70s, but now it's a defensive struggle.
No one in Michigan loves University of Michigan and Michigan football any more than Tom Crawford. But Tom, you are not going to be in Michigan Stadium tomorrow. You've given up your tickets for the best of reasons. Do you want to talk briefly about Josh Edey and what's going to happen tomorrow?
Yeah, Josh Edey, the funeral of Josh Edey and his sister and father taking place tomorrow, you know, several weeks after that tragic accident that, you know, the whole East Lansing community, East Lansing football team had to endure, and it's been a long mourning process. And we just went through the football banquet Tuesday. We had a great video that showcased Josh, and we had, you know, senior night, and now we have the funeral finally on Saturday in DeWitt. So more importantly, that we're going to be there. I'll be there with my son and my wife and some of his teammates, a lot of his teammates, and that's way more important than a football game, Jack, and so we'll be going to that. That's at noon on Saturday.
It's been a very painful lesson, but one that a lot of people never learn, that there are more important things than football, and it is not life and death. Life and death is life and death. And you had to wait until you could get the surviving members of the family healthy enough to return to Michigan before you could properly honor some members of the Edey
family.
That's
exactly right. That's why the delay. And it, like I said, the closure has been a long time in the closure. Not that there's going to be really any closure on this when you lose a teammate, a close friend. And we still got graduation to deal with that, too, in early June for the East Lansing seniors. So it goes on and on and on. But I'll tell you what, he's still a teammate of the East Lansing Trojans, and he's with their hearts through and through, and we definitely recognize that at the banquet on Tuesday night.
There's something about a senior year, and you certainly went through it with Cody at East Lansing and now moving on to the next level, but the Michigan State football seniors being honored tomorrow, and the winningest group that Michigan State has had as a four-year class, Tom. That doesn't seem like much, but 31 wins. You know, for a long time, freshmen weren't eligible. So, right. You know, you have to go to 1972 with a couple of exceptions early on for a couple-year period. But that's when freshmen became eligible. And Michigan State has never had a group that could win 32, 33, or 34 football games. So for these seniors, they've been through a lot. They certainly came in. It was a leap of faith. They showed their trust in this program, and I hope they are rewarded tomorrow, not with a victory, but with the support of people that they have entertained the past 4 years.
That's right. You know, that's been the big issue. I mean, maybe it's focused more on the student body, but there has been some frustration, Michigan State yep. fans, that place hasn't been filled out. I mean, you know, is that a sellout tomorrow, Jack? And if it isn't a sellout, it should be. It's ridiculous. It's not like it's one of the biggest stadiums in the country. It's a good-sized stadium, but that squad and that program deserves a lot more. It should be sold out tomorrow. They're on a roll right now. The fans should be out embracing them right now.
Yeah, it is not quite a sellout, I don't believe. And I'm sure there will be no-shows depending on the weather. But, Tom, as you know, there is a lag between when a program gets good or in some cases gets great, and when it fills up. Michigan did not start selling out consistently until about 1975, and that was after 6 years of incredible football under Bo Schembechler. So Michigan State doesn't have as many seats to fill, and I hope that they can fill most of them tomorrow because it means a lot to those guys. It means a lot when Bowl Scouts come in and they start to look around and they see empty sections. They say, well, maybe we can look at a different team. And there are a lot of options for Bowl Scouts this year. Only the number one position is guaranteed in terms of the Big Ten's automatic qualifier. Everything else is at the whim of the bowl representatives.
Right, right. And that crowd, and that's why Iowa is always such a great draw. Kinnick Stadium's always filled up. But I'm sure Michigan, the weather's going to be decent tomorrow. I'm sure Michigan State fans will show up at the gate and fill that thing up and send those seniors out on the right. You know, as far as the accolades go, because that's been a heck of a class. That's eight wins a year, and that's pretty doggone good in college football these days.
Well, it is a strange Friday night with no high school football, but we still have area representatives. We'll talk about that on Saturday. Tomorrow morning, we'll also go through the Big Ten and football, and we'll talk about Michigan and Michigan State in great detail. And we'll also talk about your other favorite topic, Tom, college basketball.
All right, Jay. Look forward to it. Thanks for having me on tonight.
All right.